And so you can practice little things like picking up a glass of water and drink it in the state of pure awareness, in which this moment is not a means to the next moment. So if it's a means to the next moment, it would go like... Now, what's the next thing? And you can see that that is the grasping quality of... And the next thing might be a magazine or the TV, because it's the mind seeks reincarnation into the next stream that it can identify with. Pick up the phone and talk to someone. Unnecessary, but give something to do. And then there's the possibility of simply picking... At first you might slow down a little when you do it like that, where you use the space, the physical movement from here to there, as a space of awareness. That movement, while the glass travels to your lips, you're simply present with the movement, sense everything, how you touch the glass, the temperature, and even as you drink, be so present that there's no thought around this activity, and then it travels back, and that is still another space of simple, pure, aware presence. It's very beautiful. And a different quality flows into that doing than when you're being pulled by a future projection. Or a simple thing like walking across your room from one end to the other. It's a state of simple presence. Not needing to get there. Nothing is going to change when you get to the end of the room. It's still the now. Not needing or walking up the stairs. Beautiful. Present at every step. Is your life going to be more fulfilled when you reach the top of the stairs? No. It's just another place. It's a now again. Any movement, so you bring in little, you can only do it. Now this looks, you might mistake it as if you were trying to bring something about in you, but the only reason why we are pointing to this, the only reason why you're able to do it is because presence is arising, and then it manifests as somebody who is picking up a glass in the state of thoughtless awareness. It's only happening because presence is arising in you, but from the limited perspective of you being this entity, it looks as if this entity were doing some spiritual practice. So this is vital, these little bring awareness in there, and it wants to come in. Right. Okay. Yes, that's quite a long way from the... That's a good, and it's an unusual, for most people, an unusual way to eat. So you might have had some mental complaints about that in your head. And so you do that. That's any situation. Allow presence to be there. So you do simple things at first. And of course here, it's arising as you sit here. And then, during those times when you interact through words here with other people, there comes the first challenge, the first real challenge. You get small challenges even when you sit in nature. It's your own mind. But the first bigger challenge comes through human beings, because in most cases, human being means human mind, the conditioned mind. And the moment you speak words, the mind is there very strongly. Concepts, words, and you get drawn into a mind stream, reactive mind stream, and you have conversation, and you lose the underlying awareness, totally dragged along by the mind stream. Don't know that you're being dragged along, you're just being dragged along completely in it. So here again, as you interact with other people, the most helpful thing, so that you don't get dragged along by the mind stream and into reactivity, listen, giving complete attention as you listen to the other person. So you make listening your practice, but listening combined with sensing the inner body as you listen and giving complete attention in that state of listening. Now, not many people can do that because they're all immersed in mind and they're not really listening to you. They're listening to their own minds and they want to get in what they have to say. Or they are interpreting what they're listening to, labeling. So the ability to listen, to truly listen, is the ability to be still as you listen. That's the only way you can listen. To listen in the state of stillness, which is the state of thoughtless awareness. That is listening. Nothing else is true listening. And that ability comes almost by accident to certain people who work with others as counselors or psychotherapists. After years of being with people, some of them develop the ability to be in the state as they listen. And it's only then that they become truly effective in their profession, because it's only then that a greater intelligence is taking over, not the limited accumulated knowledge that they're trying to apply to you by labeling your condition and calling you this or that and putting you into some kind of pigeonhole and category. And sometimes after years of listening and applying accumulated knowledge, after a while they get tired of applying the accumulated knowledge and they begin to just be there. And the state of attention arises. And the spaciousness that is there, that is the state of thoughtless awareness, arises. And then the other person comes into that field. And then true transformation and healing becomes possible, because it's now that that intelligence that is unconditioned can begin to operate. It might not even come through you, because there is the field through this form. The field is there of pure spacious presence. That means it could come through the other person. When the field is there, it could even come through some external factor that at first doesn't seem to be connected at all to this. So, listen, whenever you interact with somebody, be in the state of pure listening, pure attention. And to dwell in that, sense the inner body as you listen. So you're almost listening with your whole body. and you're giving total attention. It doesn't matter that much anymore what is coming out of the other person's mouth. You're not only reacting to that which is coming out of the other person's mouth, because in that state of thoughtless awareness, you are connecting with that dimension in the other person. You are able to go penetrate through the screen of mind that may still be coming at you and touching that unconditioned consciousness that is there underneath the mind stream in the other person. And not only that, often it is the case that through that, that unconditioned is being awakened and begins to come forward. And of course, that's the essence of spiritual teachings. And to a large extent, this is also what is happening here. When you are in that state of pure listening, miraculous transformations happen in people around you. So you're no longer, your attention isn't absorbed anymore by the words that are coming out of the other person's mouth. That's still, yes, the words are there. You listen to the words also, but there's more. There's the entire field, the spaciousness. So you're looking through the conditioned person. And at first, again, this is a new way of being, and at first you may feel a little awkward because you haven't prepared the next thing to say. And the fear comes in that I've got nothing, what am I going to say? And then the other person may stop talking. Well, it occasionally happens that people stop talking. Or ask you a question. And then you experience, at first perhaps, suddenly an answer comes, unprepared, unrehearsed. And often it'll be just what that person needs to hear. And you may be surprised what comes. Oh, that's good. I said that. I must write that down. So that's the practice, because here you are interacting. There are these dimensions of interaction, especially here, anywhere, but there is the world of nature around, which includes plants, animals, rivers, sky. And then you interact with humans, the world of humans. So how to be with those two dimensions? The human one, of course, is more challenging than the world of nature. Humans are difficult. They are here to challenge you. You may find when you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes. For many people, that is a natural, no-thought moment. when awareness is there but thought hasn't come in yet. And there are other times when naturally that state arises in you, as it does in many people who don't even know it. It arises naturally whenever you see beauty. There's a moment of no thought, and there's a deep inner response to the beauty. It arises naturally when there's a moment of danger and immediate action is needed, and there's no time to think, to work out mentally what you're going to do. And so there can be a sudden shift into awareness, from thought to awareness, and right action happens immediately. And this is the reason why some people seek out danger. They don't know why. In biological terms, they use this expression, they get an adrenaline high that is a byproduct, perhaps, of that life. But what really happens, they are in the state of thoughtless awareness, and they've never felt more alive before. And so the only place where they can find that is through seeking out danger, where any mind movement would not be able to cope with that situation. So mind cannot work. It needs to subside, and presence takes over while you're climbing up the wall of a mountain. And every movement, you're totally present in every movement. One movement of no presence and you're gone. That's the hard way of learning presence. But catch those times when presence arises naturally, as when you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes, and there's simply a field of awareness, and be aware of that awareness. Oh. Before the mind starts coming in. You can often see it in people. When they first wake up, and 2 minutes later, the mind has started up. And then for the rest of the day, that is their state that I'm now expressing through this. They're not here. They're trying to get somewhere. And of course, years and years of that wears out the body, of that contraction. You may wake up in the middle of the night, here, strange surroundings, not your comfortable bed, and thought may come up. And thought often wants you to be somewhere else. And then you imagine being in the warm bed at home, so soft. Why did I ever leave? I could be in my soft bed at home. And then that becomes a thought stream. And soon turns into unhappiness. And so, as you wake up in the middle of the night, immediately connect with the inner body, and you lie there. Intense aliveness. And there you are in the state of thoughtless awareness. Continuing to dwell in here. Whereas before, the mind was telling you your problems. The favorite way favorite place and time for the mind to tell you what your problems are and to start try and solve them is the middle of the night. And you step out of that into simple presence. And the longer you are sleepless, the better. You welcome that because it's awareness is there. When you go to sleep here, you lie on your bed, sense the inner body, and just be there, present, alert, aware. And they go to sleep from there, from that state. Not only here, at home, that's helpful too. The worst place you can go to sleep from is TV. The second worst place is reading. Unless it's a book that was written from presence, then any one statement can take you into presence and then you put the book down. So what I'm saying now is there is enough presence in you, and so far we have, this afternoon we are only addressing minor challenges. We will also look at major challenges that come sooner or later in life and sustaining presence there. But if you can't be present in your room, then how to be present when a big challenge comes? Unless it's a life-threatening challenge, then sometimes it arises anyway. So what I am saying here is what some teachers would disagree with, but I'm saying it. There is sufficient degree of presence in you now for you to choose to dwell in the state of presence rather than in the state of mind identification. And so you only need to remember that you have that choice of being identified with mind or stepping out of mind. And I can hear one mind here asking the question, who is choosing? And the answer is, of course, that it's not really you who is choosing. Presence is choosing to emerge through this form. And from the perspective of this form, it looks as if this form were choosing. But that is a helpful perspective. That is why I say you can choose presence. Don't try to work that out through the mind. Very often, the deepest truth can only be expressed through paradox, not through some neat logical statement that says, this is how it is and that's how it is not. That's the fragmentary way of how thought happens. And when you create thought systems, they may look spiritual, but they may be belief systems, then you have a very neat way of putting it, this is how it is, and there's no contradiction here. Everything is logically explained. Be suspicious when you encounter a teaching that is totally logically consistent, that has no contradictions. It's a mind structure. Here we are going beyond, there are only different pointers to take you beyond mind identification. And whatever pointer is helpful will be used. The pointers are not there to contain the truth, to convey the truth, and any absolute truth. They're only temporary means, that's all. So, you can choose the state of presence. That is a helpful perspective. And all you need is remember that you have that choice. And then you exercise that choice. At that moment, presence has chosen you, one could say. Okay, it doesn't matter. So there come these philosophical questions when you listen to different teachings. There is a doer, there's no doer. And then people identify with one of these perspectives. They go to one teacher who says there's no doer, and then they repeat that perspective mentally and start arguing with people who say, no, there is a doer. And the mind loves that, because then the egoic self has reincarnated into some new belief and has adopted a new mental position and says, this is me now. And I'm telling you that there is no doer. And you're doing a lot while you're saying that. If questions arise, you're welcome to leave them here, and you can, if you like, write a question on a piece of paper, and tomorrow or the next day we will look at questions. I don't promise that there'll be an answer, but we'll look at the question. Avoid questions that are speculative, because they're not all that helpful. Avoid questions that are too comparative, you're comparing signposts. But vital questions concerning your own practice. Avoid questions that try to catch me out in some contradiction. This morning you said that, and in the afternoon you said that. Which one is true? I had a question not long ago. A very, very powerful mind obviously wrote a very elaborate question. And he said, in your book you say, you are here to enable the divine purpose of the universe to unfold. That is how important you are. And then on page so-and-so, I found that you say, no form is important. Which one is true? They can't both be true. But they are. So if you asked me, do you consider yourself important? I would have to say, not at all. Not at all, this form. It's only, this teaching only happens because this form knows its own nothingness, its complete unimportance. That's why the transparency is there and the teaching can come through. When you think you're special, the transparency isn't there and it can't come through. It's completely unimportant. That's why this teaching is so important. just a suggestion, close your eyes for a moment and just listen to the sound of the bell. Allow the sound to arise and be aware of the field in which the sound arises and the field into which the sound subsides. And then the sound subsides, and this left the field of awareness. The field of awareness is left. And even while you listen to the sound, you listen to the sound, and at the same time, you're aware of awareness, the underlying field. Form and formless, one. Close your eyes, if you can.